what would happen if we had the audacity, the courage, the boldness, and the presence to lean into our edges and to grow from our core? See, in a world shaped by yesterday's leaning into tomorrow's, we find ourselves weaving possibilities in an endless constellation of opportunities. The world has shifted, and now we find ourselves in a space-time continuum where lifestyle, business, and consciousness share the same office space as your purpose and your brand. Welcome to the Supernova Podcast. I'm your hostess, Lena Ski. This is a never-ending chronicle, a narrative really, designed to usher in those big bang shebangs and a whole lot more glimmer. Let's get astronomical. Let's really shift the needle into flow. So we've come to know about business as usual, and what we haven't really taken on board is that we've come to know teams as usual. Everything that I've spoken about, those inherent principles that I've spoken about in the first part of this podcast and the truth about teams, really do apply here. And I want to take that conversation one step further to really understanding a deeper layer of truth about teams. And I think the best way to look at that is to look at the resistance to teams, to look at the resistance from moving from a solo leadership, individualized state into having that team around us, because it really does reveal quite a lot. And we think it's systemic when it's actually structural. And here's where I'm going to backpedal and backtrack a little bit so that we can really explore this concept. So I know we're evolved in so many different ways, and we're moving through things in different places, and so many different paradigms are coexisting and work models are coexisting at the same time. And all of these have come to be known as business as usual. Another very business as usual principle is that of bureaucracy, is that of corporatism, corporate giants, and those kind of mentalities, models, paradigms, ways of doing things. Now, historically, we were a lot more in a bureaucratic kind of state than we were in a more individualized, tectonic, transactional, new media, technologically advanced models. So we had a lot more of these bureaucracy principles defining how work flowed and moved. And it has a lot of value. There's some systems and processes that come out of it that are very, very beautiful. And it gives us a lot of value. But the fear of moving into a team environment is somehow in our pores, we remember that bureaucratic state. Even if we've never worked for it or in it, you could say it's almost part of our DNA, if that makes any sense, and it will in a moment, because in those paradigms, in those structures, we would have worked, I'm going to use the word collectively, we would have worked as a unit, we would have worked as a cog in the wheel for a greater good. It wouldn't be so much about the individual, it would be about, we'd be doing maybe an individual piece of the pie, but that individualism wouldn't really exist. Personal brands definitely don't exist in those spaces. The only time a personal brand becomes apparent and functional in that kind of bureaucratic corporate-ish structure is when we're creating our CV or our resume to get us in the door, but it doesn't stay longer than that. Even when there are places where there are entrepreneurship, and I'm kind of separating those slightly out because there's a little bit of a crossover happening there. So what I'd like you to do is suspend your understanding of the way it is, or the way it should be, and the definitional concepts, and let's just really get into the feeling state of this. So in that bureaucracy, yes, you know, there's always this, can I talk to your manager quality. There's always some sort of power system hierarchy. It's never almost a person's responsibility. The buck always keeps moving in motion, and there's a lot of value in that because it keeps you safe and secure, and it keeps fluidity in play. So when we move over to having a team, coming from a more individualized state, a more startup entrepreneur kind of frame of mind, there's that risk of, am I going to be recreating this kind of bureaucratic state in my business, in my creative process? Because that's not what I wanted to do. And we know people leaving corporate structures because they feel so stifled creatively, and just in thought process and in individualization and the ability to really harness their talents or reveal talents, and of course growth. So there's that line that kind of gets crossed there. So we have a fear of losing that individuality. We have that fear of, like, we've been doing this great thing. We've been creating our own personal brands. We've been creating our own personal stamp, our own USB. We're so close to it. We understand the intricacy of what we're trying to do in the world. And yes, a team would help me manage my time better. And yes, a team would help me scale faster. Yes, a team would open up a door to an investor. Yes, I'd be able to deliver more products and improve my customer service. Maybe I'd even be able to wear hats I've never been able to wear before. Or maybe I'd allow for new emergent roles that make sense for my business. I just hadn't had the capacity to be able to go there. So there's a lot of value in teams. And we know that, right? And it's a beautiful thing to be able to do that. But there is this inherent risk of losing our individuality. And I've seen this on the leadership side. I've seen this specifically with entrepreneurs as well, that there's a fear of the work becoming downgraded, watered down, distilled, corrupted, would be words I've heard being used, that when somebody else does it, they're not going to have that same vision. They're not going to have that same passion. They're not going to have that same responsibility for it, because this has been my baby. Like, if I don't give birth to it, who will? There isn't that level of commitment and relationship with the product or the service or the idea that's being birthed and delivered to the customer, to use that word. So that becomes an inherent block. In, we know that there's this risk of losing leadership quality, that there could be power plays, and that we almost get reduced to worse versions of ourselves, and we start mapping back our own evolution. We go, am I going to just be a primate who's going to be grunting and growling and clamping and snaring my teeth to get my little piece, as we're all trying to make this work? And we know that that's not happening, but there's an inherent kind of nightmarish thing that we can kind of sometimes see. And even if it's not our intention, or if it's not in our fear set, it's going to be in the room, because structurally that's how we've evolved to see it. Now, that's not the whole truth and anything but the truth, because we do know that there is a flip side. We do know that there's this talk of a silver lining, and we do see it inherently in our cultures and in our structures and in our systems. And this is places where we've seen this team really rally together. There's a lot of team awards or innovation awards coming to these companies. They've got this amazing people culture or team culture or brand culture or company culture. They're doing something in a unique, cohesive manner. They've got these values that look really cool. There's something aspirational and inspirational about that. And we see that that model works. So we don't have to be reduced back to the splintering power play or this lack of individuality. But if we actually look at these other companies who are so seemingly unified, there is also a lack of individuality, because even though there might be talk of diversity, it's more the need to have everybody sign on to the predominant values at play. See, there's a big difference between wholeness and designing for business wholeness, which is really true diversity, to what's really happening now. Because just for example, hiring of a certain demographic, of a certain gender group, of a certain racial space, that is an aspect of diversity on paper, but if your culture doesn't allow for that individualism to live, if your culture says these are the prescribed values and you have to be fun and perky and all of this is the way, and we create a lemming culture, right? Lemmings, we remember that kind of trolley environment, that kind of pooled collective where everyone takes on a predominant nature, dresses in a specific way, gets very cliquey, very tribal. It's beautiful. It has its value, sure, but it actually then squanders the diversity that's actually being created by meeting these paper box ticks. Because it isn't very inclusionary. It isn't very diverse. It's still a predominant culture that's being sold, and a predominant team perspective that's being sold. And here what starts to reveal itself becomes also incredibly fascinating, because let's take this kind of organization. There's this unit, there's this collectivism, there's this, and I'm using these words knowing that they may backfire and that I may go back and explain a little bit more. There's this inherent collectivism, there's this inherent, we're all on the same page, we're all definitely behind the same values, we know what our company mission and values are, which very often is not the case. We live by the creed of the color of our walls and the color of our logo and the color of our mascot, and we adopt this personality that comes across, which then can feel very fake, it can feel very heavy, it can feel like a lot more work, and then we start having our own individuality clash with that inherent bubbly nature that we need to take on, or whatever that status update, relationship status bar is that we've signed on for. And this is where teams become really apparent, because I personally don't believe humans are the fault of everything, that we're the weakest link in the chain. What I've noticed when working with teams, when designing for teams, when understanding what kind of teams would really be supportive, what kind of culture is there, setting up this cultural kind of department, is people reveal what is. People make the intangible tangible. And it's true and it's metaphoric, because they reveal the elephants in the room, or their reaction reveals that there is an elephant in the room. We see brick walls, we see glass ceilings. We don't really see them, but we see these kind of people bouncing off of things and structural elements, processes and systems, responding and reacting to different things. And we don't often take that into consideration. We tend to think, oh, the person's broken, let's just replace that clog in the wheel, let's just redefine for efficiency and upgrade the model, let's teach it to be more efficient and effective, or let's replace it altogether. And then the same thing may perpetuate, and that's what we often have seen in bureaucracies, but we see this in team culture. And I remember in the coach training having this deep conversation of people not being able to move beyond abandonment to really get to abundance as a state of journey because you're so entrenched to the people, the unit. Nothing can rupture. Nothing can be replaced. You leave no man behind. It's very family dynamic. It's almost like you feel like you can't replace any system or structure. And if you do, you're not really living the team philosophy because you're still then seeing people as a resource and as a capital item, and they're something to be moved on a spreadsheet and reduced to a number or a unit to then be replaced and thrown out. So it becomes really fascinating that, and we see this in organizational hierarchies, like when we see that hierarchy map, we think that it's linked purely to bureaucratic spaces or corporate spaces, and you as a startup aren't really going for that because maybe you want to decentralize your leadership, or maybe you want to be more of the kind of tribal family vibe. Yet these apparent intangible relationships, power systems, hierarchies are naturally embedded into the system by definition of the structure that we live in, the structure of what we create. And there's inherent value in that, because if we know what really truly is, we can then allow ourselves to look at what if, what matters, what works, and what do we want to optimize for? What do we want to grow into? Where do we want to expand? And we create that narrative for it. And it's a beautiful piece of work. I'm in awe and fascinated by it. And it's something that just feels like a homecoming for me, especially when I add purpose, and not the way that we've been talking about purpose predominantly in corporations or bureaucratic spaces, where it's doing the right thing at the right time for the right, maybe not even right reason, but doing the right thing at the right time. And I spoke into that in the first podcast, but that we're able to move beyond that. And that we're also then able to move beyond the abandonment of that to something far more superior. And choice of words, something far more evolutionary, something far more intuitive, something far more adaptable, because superior has a glass ceiling on it. Superior has a hierarchical paradigm grid thing, and it wants to get 100% on something. It never wants to be in a state of openness and willingness to grow. It wants to like really get to the top of the food chain as fast as possible, where evolutionary plays in a whole different parameter and a whole different paradigm. And that's where I kind of get all gleeful and excited and want to bring more into the world. So coming back to this team, tribe element, where let's say we're moving into the team, we know the values, we're all in this, we've come together, there's this great symmetry, maybe we're that kind of award-winning company that's designing for really good communications, that we really know how to move in our department and create that sense of unity, and that's beautiful. But the irony there is work-life balance becomes a bit of a joke, and individualism becomes a bit of a joke. It doesn't actually become a collaborative environment. It actually becomes a codependent, predominantly, environment. And that comes back to a bit of that diversity that I've already spoken into. It comes back into signing up for the predominant culture, or the culture that gets accepted and allowed as the baseline, as the bottom line of creation. So the truth about teams is They reveal so much more than we allow ourselves to see. And they reflect so much more back at us than we allow ourselves to accept. And in that lack of workplace culture, there's often this sense of we're so connected, we're so entwined, we're sharing recipes, we're team building, we're going on outings together, we're doing Friday drinks, we're doing after hours this, we're doing these kind of lunches, we're doing constant elements, that there's so much of ourselves we're bringing into work that we don't know, we don't have space to be anything else. And that then work or work environments want to own all of these different parts of us, and that then becomes another individualistic collective dilemma. So there's all these entanglements we see in the truth about teams, and it can equally push us back to going, why even bother with it in the first place? I was doing fine on my own and I don't need that. And of course, maybe that could be true, but chances are you're robbing yourself of something far more fundamental. And actually, you're not going to get to that crescendo of really coming to wholeness. You're not going to come to that crescendo of really coming to really having a purpose, really creating a legacy, really living your signature, if you're just managing and self-managing, because then you're your own manager of a party of one. Because it just falls flat in another way and shape and dichotomy. So I hope this podcast, part two, has revealed a new take on teams, on the value that teams bring, on the places we play within teams, on the ways we design teams, on what kind of a team we really want. And I haven't really given my preferred state of that, because I just want you to understand the what is first. Because if we go too quickly into imagineering, we're ignorant and we're not considering all the factors, and we're not actually making a rich design palette to transmute, to transform, to alchemize in the way that it possibly could. And the default error in that design is that then we allow the things that we haven't named to still be elephants within the room, because we haven't addressed those issues, so we're still assuming that they're part of the structure that we're designing. We haven't actually reinvented anything truly and absolutely. So I hope this podcast has given you a deeper perspective of teams, a deeper perspective of your relationship with your peers, your team, the teams you manage, the teams you create, the teams you design for, and the teams that you want to co-create, be a part of, and the things that you want to bring into your work, into the future of work. Because in the business of usual and the teams of usual, we're at a precipice where we don't have to be doing that anymore. We can. And you have full permission to be doing that. But just know then what your parameters are. Know that with any evolution, any step up in the game, any transmutation that happens, you're going to have things that you're bouncing off of. You're going to have those glass ceilings, brick walls, cul-de-sacs, those different elements coming out. And at different layers of our own business evolution and our own branding evolution and our own personal evolution to be part of and to create and design and take leadership of these things, different things become apparent. So, what have you learned about the truth about teams? Apparently on anchor.com.fm. Oh my goodness, I'm going to need to get the right link and put it into the chat box, because I don't want to start clinking away and typing away. There is a messenger button, and I actually haven't had the chance to really check it out. first of all, it told me I can't send messages to myself. Now it's just giving me a bit of an error report. Maybe I can send voice messages to myself. But I would love to hear your feedback. And if that button isn't working for you, please add it into the comments section. Please give me feedback. What are you learning about the truth about teams? And I'll see you over at the third part of this unfolding. See you there.